task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, everybody, it's Rick Wilson. Welcome back to Lincoln Squares, the elephant in the room. It's been a hard week for a lot of people who have had some experience with the White House. Whether you worked there for 6 weeks or a year or a month or as an intern or as a staffer, whether you've visited there as a tourist or a guest, it's a building that wraps up something about our country in the most profound and fundamental kind of way. It's a building that had become a symbol. It is a building that has wrapped itself around our history and our memory and the story we tell ourselves as Americans. And the elephant in the room this week is that the destruction is the point. Donald Trump is not just tearing down the east wing of the White House to build a ballroom, although we will speak of that in a moment. Donald Trump is tearing down the east wing of the White House to destroy something he hates. He hates the idea that there was a part of the White House, the east wing, this ceremonial space where the First Lady's office was until a few days ago, where diplomats were received, where astronauts, where athletes, where scholars, where people from every walk of life in this great country of ours came there, not to adore a president, not to bend the knee to a potentate, not to bring offerings like a tech bro handing Donald Trump a gold disc. People came there to be honored by the president, by the White House, by the First Lady. They did not go there as pilgrims, as supplicants. They went there as people who should be uplifted, people who should be seen as great Americans, people who should be seen as examples to young people, examples to the country, examples to everyone. Sometimes it was Gold Star moms, where the president or the first lady would greet the families who had lost someone in combat. Sometimes it's a girls' sports team. Sometimes it's an astronaut. Sometimes it's a scientist. Sometimes it's a doctor. Donald Trump doesn't want that. In fact, he loathes that because he truly hates this country. He truly does. He thinks it is beneath him. It's why he treats it with such contempt. And yes, this is an act of willful, contemptuous destruction. It is an ugly act. It is an act meant to trigger in you a sense of loss, a sense of pain, a sense of regret, and a sense of helplessness. And unfortunately, in Washington, we are largely powerless to stop this. I've talked to legal folks. There's no real grounds for an individual suit or an restraining order or an injunction or anything like that. The president has a lot of power concerning the White House. Now, of course, he's violating all the rules and all the procedures and all the... But set those things aside. You're not going to win that argument. But you should know why he does these things. He does this to cause you to feel despair. Why did he tear up the Rose Garden?
This is the historic White House Rose Garden. For decades, presidents have used it as a stage for outdoor ceremonies and events. Recently, it has turned from this into this. Welcome to
the Rose Garden Club.
President Trump has hosted private dinners here, featuring cabinet officials, a new stone patio, meals from the White House chef, and maybe even a playlist personally curated by Trump himself. He has rebranded the garden into what looks like a taxpayer-supported version of the Mar-a-Lago patio at his Florida resort. And good luck scoring an invite. So far, the guest list has been limited to Trump's political allies and administration staff.
Yes, part of it was that he wanted a disco patio like Mar-a-Lago so he could go out and spin ABBA tunes to the assembled lobbyists and goons that frequent that area. But he really did it because he knew it would hurt. He knew that it was excising a piece of the history of the White House. He knew it was going to eliminate a space, a context that had existed in the minds of every American forever. He understood that because he is an arsonist. He is a terrorist. He is a force of destruction in our civic life. Now look, we're a decade into this. I've been doing this a very long time now. I've gotten older and balder, and my beard's gotten whiter while trying to explain to America the danger this man has posed from the very beginning. If you believe this is the end of the destruction, you are mistaken. If you believe there's not an ideological component to the destruction, you are mistaken. I think that he enjoys the idea that he's going to tear out history and rewrite it as his own. This is the authoritarian playbook writ large. We have always been at war with East Asia. And I've seen a lot of folks on the conservative side of the fence, the Trump side of the fence, let's be honest, defending this. You had David Marcus, Miranda Devine, National Review, a bunch of these right-wing wannabe, you know, writers and commentators. Oh no, this is reverence to the White House. This is love of the White House. This is just what Truman did. Let me be very clear about what Truman did, because there is a big lie embedded in all these things. Oh, Truman gutted the White House. Truman rebuilt the White House because it was literally collapsing. And they did have to gut the interior of the White House and rebuild the framing of the White House because the building was falling down on itself.
Related to a president who was not only a good president, but also had a good sense of humor and good common sense. Grandpa was an accomplished classical pianist. When you are Harry Truman's grandson, you take piano lessons. And it was during one of these sessions that my mother told me the story of her piano in the White House. The leg of that piano punched through the floor of her sitting room into the family dining room below. And that's the first I heard of the condition that the White House was in 1945. During a recital by the pianist Eugene Liszt in the East Room, engineers came to my grandfather and said that the chandelier, that 1,800-pound chandelier, was hanging by a thread and could let go at any moment. Presidents didn't take care of the White House as they should have, probably. Here they are rebuilding the White House. My grandfather would not let them touch the stone exterior because the White House is a symbol of this country, a symbol of our democracy. Outside space was very important to them, which is why my grandfather built the Truman balcony out of funds he had saved, his White House budget. They enjoyed it, and so have presidential families ever since.
And that was a metaphor I don't think anybody needed to see in this world of the American White House collapsing on itself. So what Truman did was to restore its structural integrity. This is a beautiful federal building. It was so gorgeous in its restraint that it's almost quintessentially American. This is not a European palace. It was balanced. It was reserved. Inside, there was always an energy. Every time I've been in the White House for work and receptions and stuff like that, there was always this sense, and I never worked in the building. I worked transition in LEOB for a while, whatever. We all called ourselves White House staffers, trust me on this. And then I went to the Pentagon, which was another experience. We'll talk about another day. Best job of my life. There was always a sense in that building. And I think this applied to President Bush when I worked for the Elder Bush. And I think it applied to Bill Clinton, regardless of his personal foibles, blah, blah, blah. And I know it applied to W. And I know it applied to the Obamas. And I know it applied to the Bidens. They looked at the people's house. And the people that worked for them looked at the people's house. And understood they were just stewards. They understood they were just caretakers of the people's house. They did not seek to market with their own stamp. They left behind two things: a portrait and a note. The note was always advice to the next president. The portrait was always the tradition. Obviously, the Trump dedication to trolling and cruelty and basically being the shit tier humans that they are. Joe Biden's picture has been replaced with a picture of the auto pen, because why not? It's juvenile. It's lame. It's pathetic. But it is what it is. None of those presidents ever sought to stamp their name in a permanent way on the White House. It was balanced. The buildings were literally balanced. There was a visual picture. One of Trump's arguments for building this ballroom is he wants to have a ballroom with more people. Okay. The state dining room in the White House is not a gigantic space, but that was part of the beauty of it. That was part of the glory of it. It was intimate. It felt connected. It was a space where, with 150 other people or so, I'm not sure what the capacity was, where you knew the president was right over there, where you were seated with somebody who the White House social office had decided would be a great conversation, where that intimate space wasn't just because you were powerful, it's because you had something to bring to that moment. Trump hates all these things. He hates the idea that there can be any attention other than on him. He has turned the White House already into a Timu whorehouse. Glitter, Bukkake, Liberace, Saddam, whatever you want to call the style. It does not actually represent a style, by the way. It's just random vulgarity. And this building, this 90,000 square foot carbuncle, which will be almost twice as big as the White House at 55,000 square feet, is going to be a visual horror. It is going to be hideous. It is going to be a loathsome, cheap piece of trash. And I'll tell you why. Because he just wants more square footage to jam the bodies in of the people that he wants to extract money from. That's all this is. That's all this is. This is a truly, deeply repulsive display of Donald Trump wanting a room in which to have his ego fellated one more time. I want to go back for a second about the emotions of this moment, because I've had them all, as most of you have too. Anger, sadness, tears. And I know that that is the set of emotions they hoped to induce. They want you to watch history being torn apart and cry about it and suffer for it. They want you to feel that despair and that sense that this can never be overcome and never be undone. And no, you know what? We're never going to put that building back in place. Not exactly. That material from the 1902 initial build and the 1940s rebuild, we're never going to have that again. That plaster, that lathe, those bricks, those stones, none of that's coming back. But I do want to tell you something that I am a believer in at a deeply fundamental level now. Trump will be gone someday. He will die someday. Nature is undefeated. The actuarial tables have a 100% success rate. I don't know when a Democrat's going to be back in the White House. But it ain't going to be forever. Could be 28. Could be 32. We'll see. But I'm going to tell you one thing, folks. And I want you to think about this, because I've been reading a lot lately about periods where countries go through a restoration. And they are never easy. But when a restoration occurs in a nation or an institution, a part of it is that you have to denazify. You have to unsovietize. You have to return things to a balance. And I know this is going to be a lot of MAGA folks go, oh, you're triggered. Folks, I want you to imagine that day that's going to come someday where the shoe is going to be on the other foot. And I'm going to try to talk you through this part without getting emotional, because I am emotional about this. I freely admit it. I'm a man with emotions. I have them. Not just scorn and anger, but deeper emotions about a house, a building. And you think that's weird, but it's not. What you're feeling is right. You're feeling something as an American that you're angry because this happened. But there will come a day when they are gone. And this has to go far, far beyond just what I'm going to describe to you now. It has to go into the most fundamental ways we govern this country. It has to be accompanied by changes in law and statute, and possibly even the Constitution, to reflect the damage that must be undone. But the next Democratic president who takes that oath of office on that cold January day, I want to hear the sound of the bulldozers that afternoon. I want to hear the sound of the bulldozers tearing down this whorehouse that he has built on the White House grounds. That's what it is. It's a whorehouse. He is being paid money to do favors for billionaires and lobbyists and the wealthiest people in this country. He's being paid money in that room. Some of them are kicking in part of the value of that room. They're being transactional, including your friends at Apple and Google and Meta and OpenAI. But they're not to blame for what they're doing. It's explicable why they're doing it. They want to keep making money without regulation. They want to keep making money without accountability. They want to keep making money no matter how much the machine they built has hurt this country. So they're going to pay him. But that symbol of this ballroom, this cheapening of the American history, this cheapening of our nation, this cheapening of the people's house, I will tell you right now, it must be torn to the ground. It must be raised to the ground, and every stick of it, every piece of metal and marble and stone that goes into it must be taken and sunk into the ocean so that it can never become like Bin Laden was, so it can never become a symbol for the MAGAs. And in a smaller place, the Rose Garden must be restored. That patio, I'll drive the damn earth mover day one. Let me know. I can drive an earth mover. I can drive a skid steer. I'm good. I can run a jackhammer. Pretty fucking wild. That patio, one more symbol of his corruption, his arrogance, his ego, his loathsome desire to have everyone there worshiping and bowing to him in the most unpresidential way imaginable. That too must be torn from the ground. It must be ripped from the earth. Every stone of it must be crushed to gravel and sunk into the ocean. Because it is another symbol of corruption. It is another symbol of his evil. It is another symbol of the fact that this man has no respect for America, no respect for its traditions, no respect for its history. And again, when I say they must be destroyed, that those things must be removed and ripped apart, I'm saying that because we must send a signal to America when the era of Trump is over, that it is over. We must send a signal to the people of America when Trump is gone, that no element of his legacy will be remaining in a place of honor. The Trump official portrait will be placed in the White House basement in a fucking closet. And you think, oh, that's just some kind of pettiness he just... No, it is not. It is not. Donald Trump has caused more harm to this nation in our honor and our image, in our system of government, in our way of life, in the rights of the people of this country than any president in the history of the United States. And so his legacies in every way must be dismantled and destroyed. Everything Trump touches dies is a rule that I made up almost flippantly. And now, unfortunately, it is far, far too true. But we have a choice when he is gone, and he will be gone someday, folks. And I know you, I know you may think, oh, well, why would we want to not unify the country? Oh, the Republicans would be so mad if we did that. I want you to try to hold on to the memory of how they have behaved toward this country and in service to Donald Trump. They have laid waste to this economy. They have laid waste to the dreams of millions of Americans. They have laid waste to our rights. They have laid waste to the idea that America was a shining city on the hill. They are the most fundamentally radical government in history of this nation. It is a radical form of evil. And its markers and its symbols must be destroyed. You don't see 30-foot statues of Adolf Hitler up in Berlin for a reason. As messy as it was when the statues of Saddam came down, it spelled the end of an era of a dictator. And those things that follow, they can be messy, they can be shitty, they can be terrible. They can lead to outcomes you don't expect and outcomes you don't love. With the choice between leaving a dictator's legacy and image in place and purging that legacy and image is an easy one. And so, yes, the day that Democratic president takes office, I want Republicans and the MAGA people in the world to be screaming and wailing and crying and full of despair and feeling like the world that they tried to build has been destroyed, because we must destroy the thing they are trying to build. Because they are not trying to build anything that honors America's values. They are not trying to build anything that honors America's Constitution. They are not trying to build anything that honors the sacrifices of millions of people over 250 years to bend the arc of history to be the country we can and must be. They wanted to reverse all of that. Every day they are working to reverse all of that. Every day they tell every other American who's not one of their inner circle of their contempt and their loathing for them. And so I want them to feel that way. I want them to feel that way when the Rose Garden patio, the disco patio, is stripped up and replaced. I want them to feel that way when the hideous carbuncle, this gigantic architectural nightmare tumor, is excised from the side of the White House. And every scrap of it is sunk into the sea. I want them to feel that way when skilled men and women come together to rebuild the East Wing of the White House. We can't recapture it. We can't rebuild it from what it is. That material is gone. That space is gone. But we can rebuild it to honor the style, the scope, the scale, and the purpose. Most importantly, the purpose of the East Wing. I will tell you, I wrote a piece on Substack this week called The East Wing Obscenity. It's gotten tremendous traffic. People have been circulating all around. They did a piece on CNN about it.
As former Republican strategist and White House aide Rick Wilson, admittedly no fan of the president, put it today, the wing became a geography of grace notes. The East Garden that would later be coaxed into elegance by Jacqueline Kennedy. The corridor where photographs line up like a roll call of American life. The rooms that belong to prior First Lady staffs, the keepers of continuity, the stewards of tone and memory. Well, tone and memory have been trumped by gaudy gold and the construction of a 90,000 square foot megastructure, nearly twice the size of the central mansion of the White House. It'll dwarf the size of the main part of the White House, which it is right next to.
I'm very proud of it. I hope you'll read it. I want you to not just take from despair from this moment. I want you to take a lesson from this moment. I want you to understand that the destruction being the point of Trump, that the destruction being meant to harm the country, to harm the soul of who we are, to harm you, to fill you with dismay, to make you feel like nothing can be done, that you're hopeless, that nobody can stop him or control him. That is the elephant in the room in a lot of ways. But I also want you to hold in your hearts that these things can be undone. We will never put it back like it was. It will never come back to the historical resonance that it once had. But we can rebuild something after we remove the stain he has left on this White House. We can rebuild something that is beautiful, that honors America, that honors our history and our values. We can rebuild something that isn't marked by the ego of one evil man and his evil movement. We can rebuild something that sets their hearts into dismay. And we should. There's always a temptation with my Democratic friends when they take power. Well, we can all go back to normal now. We can all reconcile now. Everything can be back like it was. It cannot. It cannot. Remember, these are people who sent a mob to kill you. These are people who, without a single scintilla of anxiety or fear or regret or remorse or thought of consequence, are arresting American citizens in the street, tearing down historic buildings, running roughshod over the law, lying to the courts. You cannot accommodate that. You cannot leave that extant. When this is done, and it will be done someday, God willing, part of what you must do as elected officials and as American citizens and as people who give a damn about this country, part of what you must do is to wreak a terrible vengeance on the symbols and the objects and the people who did this to you. And by the way, this means that there do not get to be anybody in government. Doesn't get to be anybody in government after this who ever worked for Donald Trump. Even people who converted to civil service. They have to all go. Purges matter. If you leave sleeper agents behind, the virus will grow again. If you leave symbols like this horrifying, hideous contrivance he wants to build on the White House grounds, the virus will grow again. If you just nod and wink and go, oh, well, Stephen Miller's just at a think tank now, the virus will grow again. If you have states where they get federal money for their highways and they've named 10 highways after Charlie Kirk or Donald Trump or whatever the fuck it is, no, they don't. They don't get federal money. You have to play a harder game now, folks. I want this terrible vision of what happened to the White House to inspire you not to be sad, but to be cold. I wanted to inspire you to go after these people in the way they've gone after America. I wanted to inspire you to fight them in a way that makes them regret every moment that they bent their knee to Donald Trump and this hideous movement. I do not care about reconciliation with people who would tear down the White House. I do not care about reconciliation with people who send masked men in our streets to arrest American citizens without a warrant or a badge or a cause. I do not care about reconciliation with the petty children of the troll kingdom of Trump. They have understood something the Democrats have never understood, ever in my career, is that power is only real when you use it. Power is only real when you deploy it. Power is only real when you put it into action. There's no such thing as potential political energy. You either do it or you don't. What I'm suggesting today will cause a ruckus a couple years from now. It will cause a firestorm a couple years from now. But it is a firestorm you should crave. It is a firestorm you should desire. It is a firestorm that will be a cleansing fire. Because the marks of disgrace on this country that have been left by Donald Trump and left by his minions and left by his actions and left by his deeds and left by his cruelties, including tearing apart a sacred space in this country, the People's House, unless you are willing to purge the things that have caused it and to truly stand against it, and to not fall into the trap of, oh, we can all sing kumbaya now. It will happen again. And it will be worse and worse and worse. We can rebuild the White House, but it will take an act of major courage. But it's courage you should welcome. It's courage you should desire. It's courage you should demand from the next Democratic president. And that, my friends, is the elephant in the room. Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening to The Elephant in the Room today. I really appreciate it. You can catch me on the Lincoln Project podcast. You can also catch me on the Enemies List podcast. On Fridays, you can catch me streaming with Andrew Wilson, where we do Behind the Numbers every week, where we talk about where the polling is in the country. And the answer lately for Donald Trump and the Republicans is not bueno. You can also catch me on Tuesday nights on The Strategy Session, Thursday nights on The Breakdown. And on every Monday, I'm on with Molly Jung Fast. I'm also in the middle of writing a book, which I'm getting ready to turn in the first draft, which is good news. And we may add an episode here or there as we go forward. Anyway, folks, thanks again for listening. Appreciate all of you. Keep strong, keep the faith, and we're going to move forward together.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.